What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Yellow Wolf. How you doing?
Great. I'm fucking amazing. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks a lot for hopping on, man. But before we get into your releases coming up, I guess just let us know, like you've been pretty busy, I'm sure. What have you been up to with maybe shows or recording? What have you been up to?
Yeah, well, I've been working on this new record, 45, for the past, well, it was like probably a year that I worked on the studio album. And then it was almost another complete year to like wrap it, like completely put the bow on it, because we took our time with it. So it's a singer-songwriter album, so there's like zero rap verses on the record, which is new for me and scary as well. But I'm really, really proud of it. I've only stepped out of the hip-hop box this drastically one time before, and that was with Shooter Jennings when we did the Sometimes Why Rock and Roll album. But this album, though, is sort of like, to me, it's like a Miseducation, Lauryn Hill, or Love Below from 3000. There's an ode to a lot of my earlier work in this record. It's just, it's the tone of it is its own tone. So that's what I'm on right now, and that's what I'm focused on, man. You know, and 45 is pretty much, you know, I spearhead into projects, so that's exactly what I'm doing right now. And yeah, man, just fortunate to have something new, you know, at this stage of my career. You know, I've been around doing this for a while, so to have something fresh on the plate and a new venture to tour into, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, man. And I had the pleasure of being able to listen to it, thanks to your team. And it is like a new venture for you, kind of. And you kind of explained it perfectly there. What is it that, because the singer-songwriter, like, craft in general, it's like so bare bones. Like, you have genres and everything, but it just seems like such a, simple's not the right word for it, but it's just like a standalone thing. Is there something that really made you want to pursue this style, this sound, after a while? Like, what was it that made you want to get into that?
Well, I mean, the first inspiration for 45 was that I knew there were things inside of me that I had to let go of, and hip hop was not going to do it for me. Like, simple and plain, you know, I'm not saying that hip hop is easy. But it is for me, and it's like tooling around on the guitar when you're, you know, when you know how to, you know what I mean? It's like noodling around on a guitar, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, I can do that shit all day. But what's hard to do is to simplify that and say way more by saying way less. And there was a lot that came out during that process because of that simple demand. Like, okay, you got X amount of space to get this off. You know what I mean? And in doing that, it not only made me a better writer and a better singer, but it made me like it woke me up to myself. Like there was things in me that came out in 45 that I didn't even know were inside of me. And, you know, not every artist is that way. You know, this is not a path for every artist. Some artists take this path and some don't, you know. For me in particular, like, I've written all of my records myself. You know, I've created music based on my story with my pen, with my words. And this was the first album that I allowed someone else in the room to help me, and that was D-Ray. And when I realized the genius of D-Ray, and, you know, I could be trying to say something, and D-Ray could, because he's so good at songwriting, he was able to help me hone in how to say what I was trying to say. And man, it's been a big learning curve for me, really. I personally, it's my favorite album since probably Love Story, I would say. I think Trial by Fire was an amazing album, and I've had some good projects here and there, but as far as like what's been important in my career, this is like pivotal. So I hope that people receive it the way that I feel about it. You know, that's what I hope for.
Yeah, and when I gave it a listen today, it did seem so like personal. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, it seemed like it was directly from you. And like the one that stands out for me, which I was very impressed by, was My Country. And it's easy to, I feel like whenever someone writes about current events or the social climate, whatever you want to call it, people are like, oh, that's a political song. You know, it's easy to slap a political label on it. But the thing about that song is that it's more of like such an honest experience that I think a lot of people can relate to that isn't right or left. You know what I mean? Like it's like the people who are often like not very outspoken about it. Was this born from like a specific moment or observations over the years? Obviously it's been a pretty wild 10 years or so, right? In this country. So was this something that you've just observed, and was it easy to put pen to paper with this? Cause it is such a unique way of looking at things that I feel can really relate to a lot of like the silent majority, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I was just honest. I was like, listen, man, like I got trucks that'll never see the mud. You know what I mean? I buy all my taxidermy, dog. I've never even been hunting in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But at the same time, I was on the bus with the White Yoakum when I was a little boy. You know what I mean? Like I Run DMC walked through my door. These are facts. I can't like make this shit up in Alabama. I'm bougie, bro. I like nice shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't.
Hell yeah.
I ain't trying to go camping, dog. Like, you know what I'm saying? I need to fucking give me a camper with some fucking goddamn with Netflix. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But at the same time, I'm willing to go there. You know what I mean? I'm fully willing and have gone there. You know what I mean? Like, I'll throw on the mossy oak and go mud bogging and do all the fucking dumb shit, whatever. But the thing is like, what does my country look like? And what does like our country look like? Because I know it just ain't me, because let's be honest, what percentage of these motherfuckers are growing up on farms?
Right.
Very little.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For real, for real. So let's stop this tractor, back road, farm party bullshit, because I don't know nobody that grew up like that, and I'm from the country. Like, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, I'm from Alabama, my boy, but the thing is, my country, it don't look like that. It doesn't look like your white cowboy boots that you just bought today and your little fucking stupid fucking mini skirt and you're fucking riding around, like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not poster boy shit. So I just felt like it was a song that started when it started to come out. It became something that I felt like needed to be said more than just something personal to me, but something that a lot of people could relate to. Like, yeah, I get that. You know what I mean? Like, I get that. I get that. Like, yeah, I might be rolling in my Rolls Royce bumping 3-6 Mafia one day, or I might be in my box Chevy the other day bumping, you know, Hank Williams. But this ain't one lane, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, country is a spirit. Country is a gift. You know, being from the South is a gift, man. And I believe it is. And so don't put an outfit on it. Because it comes in many fucking colors, man. It comes in many different shades, many different musical styles. And I'm just personally, like, you know, I'm just sick of the Broadway mainstream bullshit, bro. Like, I'm over it, man. I'm like, I'm tired of people putting on their fucking weekend warrior cowboy outfits and walking around like listening to some fucking mainstream bullshit that is just like, well, I know I'll never be that. You know what I'm saying? So so it's like it's no hate. I'm not hating. All I'm saying is we still exist. That's all I'm saying, but my country doesn't look like that. Like, we're still here. You know what I'm saying? And I know who I'm speaking for. I know exactly who I'm speaking for. And when the people hear it, they're going to know who I'm speaking for, too. And it's no hate on any mainstream artists. There's a lot of fucking great music that's, dude, listen, from Luke Combs to fucking Morgan to Post to Jelly. All those guys got songs that I truly enjoy. But the thing is, there's another side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're still here. You know what I mean? And like it you don't have to put on any kind of costume to represent it. You know what I mean? Like this is my country. This is how I represent it. And I'm not only representing it for myself, but when the song fucking drops, I knew when I recorded it was important. I knew that when we dropped it and it was done, I was like, dude, this motherfucker right here is going to hit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't mean like sell millions of records. That's not what I meant by that. I said, when people hear this shit, this is going to resonate. You know what I mean? I think it's like, it's pretty much the title record for 45. It glues the whole fucking record. It's like, once you hear My Country, the rest of the album makes sense.
Yeah. And I completely agree. And the way you described it with the, like, listen, I'm from basically Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm Northern Kentucky, 20 minutes from Cincinnati. So when you said I love doing country shit, but also I don't mind the AC. I like to have like a decent pair of shoes. Like, that resonated with me perfectly. And it's kind of funny, like when you were talking there, I was thinking more about it, because I think for the most part, a lot of people equate, like, let's look at hip hop. Like, that's, people say it's all about having the materialistic things, the jewelry, all that. But if you look at the country stuff nowadays, you know, it's like they're kind of talking about the same thing, the brand new trucks, the I got land kind of thing. So like when you do explain, like, you really hit that line in the middle, you know what I mean? And I feel like it really, that song hit me like, wow, okay, like, he's talking about me. It's like there is, and I think it's the majority of people. Like, you look at the two ends of the spectrum there, like, I think the majority of the people in this country would relate perfectly to that song instead of the other two ways. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate that. And I mean, you understand it then, you know, it's like it's like, how many fucking songs are you going to hear on mainstream country radio or in mainstream country talking about dirt roads and tractors and how, and like, motherfuckers be like, really, motherfucker? Like, I grew up in Antioch, dog. Like, I grew up in Antioch and Gadsden, Alabama. Like, I'm country in a whole different way. And I don't know. I didn't grow up riding horses, motherfucker. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't. And I mean, if you did, awesome, great. You know what I mean? But I'm just sick of motherfuckers like talking about it, but they ain't really about it. They ain't about that life. They're not doing that, dog. It just sounds good to them. They're just like repeating this weird fucking monotonous songwriting bullshit that's going around Nashville. And you know, I'm just one of them. Look, listen, man. I've always been one of the artists that's like, at some point, I'm gonna put my foot down about something. You know what I mean? If I feel strongly about something, eventually I'm gonna say something. And I think that this was kind of the best way to say it without being offensive. You know what I mean? Because I don't, there's no reason to be a hater. Like, I'm not a hater. You know, I'm definitely not no fucking hater. You out there getting your money, doing your thing. Do your thing, dog. You know what I'm saying? I fucking kick it with anybody. There had to be a voice for the rest of us.
Yeah, for sure. And you kind of hit on it earlier. I wanted to kind of go more into it. When you went to work on 45, and like you said, this is a different kind of thing. The first time you really delving into this, especially with you bringing another person in the room to help you out with, Can you kind of go into more about how was that change up? Was that pretty natural? Was it challenging? How'd that work when you were really during your creative process for this record?
Man, so Malay and I have been friends for 20 years. You know, the first record that I did with Malay was called Arena Rap. And then we had done a bunch of other songs that did not make Arena Rap. We started blowing up around ATL with it. Couldn't get a deal for it. The short of the long is Kawan Prather, who signed Outkast and John Legend and T.I. and blah, blah, blah. He brought me and Malay to the studio, who we were working with at the time. I was like, man, I can't get a deal for this. And he looked at me and said, Wolf, go do a rap record. And if I can't get you a deal in 6 months, you can walk. And you got at the time, I had hair down to my waist, fucking rocking duck boots, skinnies, flannels. I had a fucking black fiddle player, a white fucking banjo player, a fucking Cuban DJ, we were like Star Trek. but L.A. Reid and DJ Khaled and Lil Wayne came to one of our sold out shows and in Atlanta at the time, and they didn't get it. Next day, Kawan was like, man, give me a rap record and give me 6 months. If I can't get you a deal, you can walk. And Malay stood up and literally told me, you go do that Asher Roth bullshit. And he slammed a $10,000 Neko keyboard on the ground and stomped on it. And he went to L.A. and produced Blonde and Channel Orange for Frank Ocean. That's a fact. Shit. So I did Trump Music. I went back to the fucking hood and I did Trump Music. And I got my situation. But Malay and I, we had something. Matter of fact, we had something so cold that when after my freshman album, Radioactive with Shady Records, so much of that shit fucking did not work. And it wasn't my call. It was fucking Pooh Bear and Eminem and all these motherfuckers getting involved with my fucking creative process. And, you know, it didn't pan out like everybody thought it would. So that being said, being the rookie and being humble, I was like, fuck it. I'll try anything. You know what I mean? Like if y'all got the hit records, so just tell me what to do. But it was a hard learning curve, not just for me, it was for everybody. But then what happened was they were like, look, man, just go to Nashville, Tennessee and make the records you want to make and show back up when you're done. And that's how Love Story happened. So I called Malay and we put 4 records on Love Story that were recorded 6 years before Trump Music. Okay. That's how ahead of the curve we were. So coming back, Malay moving to Nashville, Tennessee, we finally were able to make a record unhinged with nobody around. No labels, no fucking A&Rs, no fucking managers in the fucking way. Nobody. Just me and him. And it was healing, you know what I mean? For one, for he and I. But it's also, like, for me, like, I fucking told you, leave us the fuck alone, man. Let us cook. Mm-hmm. Like, get the fuck out of the way and let us cook, you know? I didn't have to say that this time, thank God. But because, you know, I am independent, but, you know, we were able to cook and also I was like, man, let's go somewhere happy to do this shit, man. I'm sick of fucking doing records in Nashville, Tennessee in the fucking winter because it makes me ill. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I go to jail. Or I'm fucking getting hammered on Broadway and feeling all emo the next day and it's cold. So we went to the fucking Bahamas.
Oh, hell yeah.
straight up, man. We went to the Bahamas to a resort called Albany. And, you know, like, because I wanted to be surrounded by happiness and freedom. And that really translate through the record. And like, even though there's parts of the record that are dark, being there and recording it and making it, it was partly recorded and written in Nashville as well. But we went to the Bahamas to, like, finish it. You know what I mean? Like, let's go put the button on it in the Bahamas to be somewhere, I don't know, fruitful in spirit.
Yeah.
And I think that translates through the music. You know what I mean? Like, how even if it is dark, you can still feel my joy is in the music. Because I, you know what I mean? Like, dude, you know, I mean, it's dark. Pop the Trunk was the first record that blew up for me, you know? I mean, that's some dark shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's some, like, heavy, dark shit. Even the music video, those are all my people, man. That's not, those aren't fucking characters. We didn't hire them. That's my mama, bro.
Mm.
You know, those are my friends. That's my fucking hood. That's my fucking family. You know what I mean? We didn't even have a fucking light. We shot that shit with a fucking 5D. So it, like, but you know, there's a blessing and a curse to doing that, because like I took it there, I kept it that real, and I showed my pain. But I've had to live that shit, man.
Right.
And
yeah, man.
I'm, you know, I'm trying to create music that I can live and be happy with. Mm. I can't just be stuck with this shit that just causes constant pain to me. I gotta let shit go, bro. I have to be free of this. I can't keep recycling hurt. And if I do recycle the hurt, I have to be able to do it in a way that helps not just me, but other people in a new way. And that's what 45 is.
Hell yeah, dude. And like from Trunk Music up till now, man, like I grew up listening to your stuff. And like what the thing that's always been unique about you is that you couldn't fit you in a box. Like, of course, this is a, not a departure, but like this record, like it's something different, right? But I feel like every record you put out is so, like, you're very like on an island as a listener. I feel like we can't put Yellow Wolf in a box. And this is the last question I want to leave you with, man, is has being that way, if you think of yourself that way, just so unique in your sound, style, rhymes, everything, has that helped you along the way, or has it like kind of isolated you? I know you just went and told me about like the, like coming up in those troubles and stuff. Like has it, like in hindsight, in 2026, looking back, do you look at it as this has helped me and formed me in my music, or has it kind of isolated you? You look back on it like that, if that made any sense.
No. Yeah, of course it makes sense. You know, I've said before that, you know, and I've said this on record, actually. But, you know, when someone says, man, you're underrated or you're slept on or whatever, you know, more people need to know about you, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's a certain, they mean it with love. They mean it with respect. You know what I mean? They're what they're saying to me is, what they're doing is giving me my flowers. But what they don't understand is they're burning me down at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it hurts. You know what I'm saying? It hurts to know that people do realize that I am on an island.
Mm-hmm.
But I told my boy Keith, he was driving me around, and he goes, bro, you ever feel like you just like slept on, bro? Like, people don't just give you enough respect. I was like, Keith, you're driving me home in my Rolls Royce to my multi-million dollar house. I'm good.
Yeah.
What the fuck else do I... And listen, bro, it ain't about the Rolls Royce and it ain't about the million dollar home. These are just reflections of my work, because this is a toy to a lot of people. You know what I mean? Like, this is a... People buy this for their kids on their 16th birthday.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not about the money, man. It's not about that. But I have pieces of what you could call trophies, I guess you could say, that reflect my work, that remind me that I'm okay. It's like it's been a battle recently, because a bigger battle than it used to be, because it's not okay. Are you saying that it's not okay for me to sell out shows across all of America because there are only 5,000, 6,000 cap rooms? That's not good enough. I got to sell out Nissan Stadium to be relevant.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I'm good, man. You know what I mean? And I, you know, and to not appreciate what God has given me is a sin.
Yeah.
That's a sin. And if I cannot appreciate what has been given to me because of the gift that I've been given to give other people, that's just like a fucking revolving door, bro. You ain't never gonna get out of that. And you know, I I know I'm on an island. I built it, dude. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I took the sand out with a bulldozer and built the island. You know what I'm saying? Like I planted the trees. I know what the fuck I did, but it's because I just can't do what I can't feel. Mm-hmm. And some artists have that ability, man, and God bless them for it. You know what I mean? Like, some artists can sing songs, literally, bro, that they did not write. They didn't have anything to fucking do with. They'll sing it just because there's a team around them that says it's a hit. And it may be a hit. And they'll go sing that shit and perform that shit. Dog, man, I don't have it in me, man. If it has to come from within here. So, from wherever that comes from, hey, so be it. But, you know, if I made myself an island, let me tell you this, it's real comfortable.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah, man. I know, yeah.
I got shade trees. I got swings. You know, I got hammocks. I got a nice house. I got some boats. I got some jet skis on that motherfucker. I got fishing poles, pontoon boats. And I'm about to park a yacht in front of that motherfucker.
Hell yeah, amen, bro. That's awesome, man. And that's exactly it, man. It's just so cool to see someone, like, at this point in your career, you're not just mailing it in like a lot of people might, any genre, you know, any artist, you know, like, you're not mailing it in. You're not just taking your last victory lap. You know what I mean? Like, you still have something to say. You're still connecting with people like me, people like so many people around. And yeah, man, I can't wait for 45 out July 7th, I believe. And y'all definitely make sure to check it out. It's amazing. Can't wait for everyone else to hear it. And Wolfman, thank you for hopping on. Thanks for talking to me today.
Oh, man, it's been a pleasure, man. It's been a great interview, man. Thanks for giving me some time, man. And yeah, everybody, check out 45 and shit. Hope you enjoy it. Come pull up on my island.
Fuck yeah. We'll leave y'all with that. Y'all have a good one. We'll see you next time.
My boots look good on your bed, and I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? Baby, I-